Welcome in, fans of Lineup Logic, tuning in to listen to the Fantasy Fade Route for Week 3. With me this week, you know them, you love them, from the Lineup Logic community, we have Mike Alexander, a.k.a. Roto Juan. What's up, Mike?
Yo, Quaffo, what's going on?
That's nothing much, getting fired up for Week 3.
Yep.
And we have Jason Moschel.
What's up?
What's going on?
It's going. Excited for Melvin Gordon's 3 touchdowns.
you called it. So people that are listening, we're giving you guys good info. I mean, this is good stuff. Jason's been all over Melvin Gordon since about like May. I think he's part of the family at this point.
I think of you, Jason, every time he scores a touchdown. So I've been thinking about you a lot lately.
His first year was really rough for me.
Yeah.
He's a volume guy, and he's getting a lot of it there in good old San. I almost slipped up and called it San Diego again. That's just gonna be hard to do, right?
Over the years. I'm finally calling them the LA Chargers, but
exactly. Well, we'll jump in right now for folks. What I'd like to do is have a start, and we'll maybe start with you, Mike, and go over maybe one or two observations from the week that was in the NFL, week 2. Very interesting week. A lot of things happened around the league. Why don't you dive in and give us one or two thoughts on week 2.
Well, I'll leave the big one for Jason with KC Pittsburgh. For me, it was Tampa Bay kind of looks legit. I don't know if it's just because they beat my Eagles or what, but, you know, there was not a pass rush again. This week for the opposing team, which, you know, they're missing their left tackle. They should be bad, but the Bucs, they're blocking well. They're, you know, obviously lighting it up from a passing standpoint, and their defense is keeping them in games and ahead in games. So, like, I need a couple more weeks of it, but the Bucs could be for real. This is kind of nuts.
I mean, I think they're going to have to show me a little bit. Again, it's 2 weeks in a row. And that outfit from Ryan Fitzpatrick in the post game was stellar.
I'm actually wearing that right now.
I bet you are. We need to get that tweeted out at the end of the show. So
I'm thinking about doing it for Halloween. I got to let the beard get a little longer, but
I couldn't tell if it was Conor McGregor or who that was. That was stellar. Yeah. That was a stellar post game.
There was a good meme out there that said, "Who the fuck is Jameis Winston?"
Exactly. Jason, what are your thoughts on Tampa? You think they're for real?
Yeah, it seems like Fitzpatrick, you know, he's kind of just going balls to the wall right now. Like, he's got nothing to lose, you know. It's his job to lose at this point, and he's just taking advantage of it. And, you know, we saw this a couple years ago when he was the starter for the Jets. And, you know, it happens.
Next time they face a good defense, I'm going to target him again with a defense because he can melt down. But
oh, yeah.
It's going to happen. It's just... it might not happen as soon as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, we've said it. Fitzpatrick or Fitztragic and Fitzmagic. I mean, he could be any one of those three things depending on the given Sunday. So after 2 weeks, good sample size, big showdown, and we'll get to that when we get to the game-by-game breakdown. Any other observations from week 2 from you, Mike?
The Browns, I don't know what to expect out of them. Like, they've been in it with 2 real teams, but they haven't looked good. So, you know, they're playing Thursday night against a bad team. I guess we'll find out a little more.
For sure. I can't tell if I think my notes here say Cleveland might not be that bad. And so I just don't know. I mean, they should probably be 2-0 by all accounts. So they have a bit of a defense. If they could just, you know, maybe move the ball a little bit better.
As soon as Todd Haley becomes their head coach, they might start winning games.
And that might not be that far off. So any thoughts on Cleveland there, Jason?
No, not really. I'm kind of excited to see how the wide receivers kind of shake out. Seems like they're kind of trying to pepper everybody. And Njoku is dropping stuff. He did that a lot last year.
Yep.
Looks like Landry's been dealing with a little injury all week, limited in practice. So we'll see this week what goes on and how it shakes out.
Very good. Jason, while we're on it, any observations from week 2 for you?
It's, you know, Mahomes is my boy. I took him in Dynasty last year and, you know, been riding that train. 10 touchdowns already. Crazy. He's not really throwing the ball that much, but I watched every pass, like NFL.com, when you go on to look at the highlights, you can watch like every pass from that each quarterback's made. Mm-hmm. And he is moving defenses around. He's moving his guys so he can get a good read on the defense. And he is just like pinpointing passes to every receiver. And man, I probably watched it like 10 times today.
They get like a close up on him, and he just looks so cool. And then he just launches, a pass with that rocket arm through defenders into wide open windows.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the arm talent is undeniable. The offense is tailored for this kid. Like, this may be the coming out. The
defense is tailored for him, too.
This is true. Yes. This is true. We're going to get to their game as well, but everything is lined up for him to have a banner year. This is I think we talked about it a little bit last week. I know I wrote up a little bit something for the website as well on Mahomes. This guy's the truth, and he is a pretty favorable matchup coming up this week.
Right. If he keeps it up like this, he could break Tom Brady's touchdown to interception ratio, because he's got 10 touchdowns and no interceptions right now.
And there'll be some regression, right? I mean, there always is with this stuff. There'll be some regression, but he has all the weapons. And I saw some of his post game comments. I think he was on NFL Network post game, I think, talking to Deion Sanders, and he just talked about getting the ball in the playmaker's hands. It seems so easy. It seems so simple, but he's doing it. And I mean, they're doing shovel passes. They're doing all sorts of things that Andy Reid is known for. So it's good. Real quick to wrap up kind of our week two recap. The one thing I want to point out, and again, this is going to be a little bit of the Spartan bias, but the Minnesota passing offense, I'm really all in for the rest of the season with between Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph and obviously Captain Kirk triggering it. I really like Minnesota's offense going forward from a passing standpoint. We'll see. I mean, I think they're kind of getting Dalvin Cook kind of back right. It's going to take them a little while, but their passing offense is no joke. And outside of their matchups with Chicago in division, I like Minnesota a lot this year from a passing standpoint. I don't know what you guys think.
Same page, yeah. It's they brought in Cousins. He's looked great, and that the new coordinator DeFilippo from the Eagles looks just as creative as the Eagles' offense did last season. So,
yeah, we got Kirk Cousins likes to sling the ball like a lot more than the old quarterbacks that they had, Bradford and Keenum and Teddy. He likes to spread it around too, and you saw that. Diggs 13 targets, Thielen 13 targets. I don't know how many targets Rudolph got. I didn't write that down. But, he's slinging it and he's spreading it around, and that makes that offense very, very, very dangerous.
Yeah, probably one of the top, I'd say top 10 easily offenses in the league, and maybe even top 5.
That was definitely my best stack on DraftKings. Was I had the Cousins, Thielen, Diggs stack on there. And scored like 200 points on that lineup. So,
for sure. Real quick, from each of you, we'll start with you, Jason. Anyone you're panicked on league wide? Any situation you're panicked on?
It's got to be David Johnson right now. They are just not using him. I know we hit on that a little bit last week, but he didn't even get a target until the fourth quarter. I think it was after Fitzgerald came out of the game. Where was his stats here for last week? He's like way down here, 40 something. Yeah, 42, 13 rushes, 48 yards. Like, that's not enough volume for David Johnson. I understand they were behind, so you go away from the rush a little bit, but two targets, one catch for 3 yards. And I know they said that they're going to try and line him up in the slot a lot more like they used to. In 2016, so maybe it'll start looking up for him. But yeah, we'll see.
I don't know if you saw the next gen stats chart of his rushes. It's like basically just between the tackles and 1 to 3 yard gains. Like no outside rushes, no creativity. I think that offense, they got to get past Bradford. He needs to get hurt or bench soon here.
Call him for the clavicle busting right now.
You don't even need that. Like, I mean, last season he was just like, God, dude, my knee hurts. I'm gonna sit the season out and lay on top of this pile of money for a little bit.
Yeah, people have done worse things, right? But yeah, I would agree with you guys. David Johnson is definitely a panic. Talent is there, as you mentioned, talking about putting him in the slot, putting him in different positions to make him effective in space. But Arizona really. Panic button I'll push there. Mike, what about you? Anyone you're panicked on?
I'm panicking on Cameron Meredith. I was really high on him coming into the season. He got more involved as the preseason went on, but he's been inactive two straight weeks. That's really worrisome. And if you start to fall behind on the Saints team, you'll just get buried. You know, they've got too many other options. And, I'm starting to get pretty worried about a lot of best ball shares of him. You know, season long, I can pivot, but best ball, that's your roster is your roster.
Yeah, totally agree there. One quick panic for me after watching that Sunday night game with the Giants and the Cowboys. A little bit panicked on OBJ. Not full on panic, but if Eli Manning is going to be back there, and I know you guys probably saw that meme of the look of sheer horror and terror he had after being rushed by the what looked to be a pretty good actually pass rush from Dallas. If he can't get it right, and I know he kind of ebbs and flows, if he can't get it right, you know, Odell picked very high, he got the new contract, immense talent, but he needs someone to get him the ball, and they looked really, really pedestrian on Sunday night, so I'm getting a little panicked with Odell.
And like everybody thought that Nate Solder and a rookie left guard were going to fix this O-line. And it was like, I mean, it'll improve it, but I don't think it's going to fix it. I said that, a lot preseason, it hasn't been fixed.
Yeah, it really just, it has not been fixed at all. So
yeah. Cowboys got 6 sacks, and that's got to be, that's got to be just how terrible the Giants O-line is, because the Cowboys defense is not super stout,
Their pass rush is their one kind of saving grace, but yeah, that's a lot of the Giants OL.
Exactly.
That's the same that the Bears got, and the Bears have a elite pass rush. I mean,
very elite pass rush. I felt bad for Russell. I was saying a couple of prayers for Russell Wilson at that. That was not nice last night. So
yeah, that's the Bears against Russell Wilson, who's like a Super Bowl quarterback and can get out,
Right, who can move in the pocket, elude the pass rush, and they still just were coming after him with a ferocity that reminds me of my childhood with the Monsters of the Midway. So, all right, shall we get into game by game, guys?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with that oh-so-fun and exciting Thursday night game on the banks of Lake Erie. Cleveland hosting the New York Jets. The over-under there is a mere 39.5. Cleveland's favored. Why don't we have you, Mike, talk about Cleveland here, and we'll have Jason work with the Jets here.
Yeah, I mean, my main take here is to play the Thursday through Monday slate and fade the Thursday game. But, on the Cleveland side, there's some concern. You got Landry a little dinged up, so you don't know what you're going to get there. If he sits, there's, some opportunity for Higgins or Callaway, but they're both unknowns. They talked about getting Duke Johnson involved. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's probably just Tyrod is the only Brown I'd be interested in.
What about Carlos Hyde?
I think the Jets are not bad, not a bad rush defense, and this is probably an ugly game, so I don't think there's a ton of scoring.
Sure, I can see that. Anything else you like on Cleveland outside of those?
Not until Baker Mayfield gets involved.
Which may be sooner than we all think. How about the Jets for you, Jason?
The Jets. Darnold he's really dinking and dunking. So you got Aguilar, Enunwa. I'm like on the Aguilar train after the last couple weeks. But Enunwa, he's just dinking and dunking all over to Enunwa.
What's Terrell Pryor, 21 targets the first
year. Yeah,
games?
Terrell Pryor started to get. I think Terrell Pryor got like 8 targets. Only 4 catches, but the 8 targets is promising for him. Robbie Anderson has just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, Pryor's really robbed that big play role from Anderson.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of – because he's just like a straight, like, downfield guy, you know, just burn him with speed. And the way that they're calling the offense is just, like, real conservative for Darnold to, you know, not put him in a bad situation throwing risky stuff down the field. So I think it'll improve as the season goes on. But the running back situation is non-existent, basically. And it's really just Enunwa, and looks like Pryor is taking on a bigger role. If he can get his catch percentage up, then he'll be that big red zone target that they need.
Yeah, I like the Enunwa call. And you know, you can roll the dice on one of the New York backs. I think for those playing this slate, I think what I would do, if you're not going to do the Mike move of the Thursday through Monday and fade this one, if you play the single game slate, this is a double defense for sure, because I think it could be a sloppy game, could be a lot of turnovers and the like. So anything else for this one, guys?
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me either.
Let's move on to some fun games. New Orleans going down to the ATL to face their division rival in the Falcons. I think a lot of goodness here from both sides. Mike, why don't you start with the Saints, and we'll give Jason the good old Dirty Birds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the passing game should be thriving here, particularly Alvin Kamara. You know, we saw last week Christian McCaffrey really beat up the Falcons in a passing kind of role as a back. And that's, you know, that's Kamara 101. Get him the ball in space by throwing it to him. So he's got a great floor with a huge ceiling. He's going to be one of my mainstays this week. Coming off of not, I wouldn't say a disappointing performance. I think he had 17-some points, but, you know, not the 43 he put up the week before. So people probably played him and thought, oh, man, I didn't get 43 points. He's a bum.
Yeah, and I see this as a prime spot against the banged-up Atlanta defense, right? Given a lot, I mean, you saw what they did last week with CMC, Christian McCaffrey for the uninitiated. And he had, you know, 14 catches or whatever. This this could be a really big spot for Kamara going up against Atlanta, which Vegas, you know, has got that high over-under, so they see a little bit of shootout potential here as well. So I looking at this game, too, I've been talking about Benjamin Watson throughout the course of preseason and obviously the first couple of podcasts here. I might be off that train, and I think the offense is really concentrated around Thomas and Kamara, so until Ingram comes back. And so I think that's where most of my shares would go here. Traquan Smith, I haven't seen a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, it's just a nice stack. It's expensive, but, you know.
It might
53 yeah. Projected points is the place to be.
Exactly. All right, Jason, anything with the Falcons in this game?
So that the line is actually moving towards the Saints right now. So it's gone like a quarter of a point towards the Saints, a quarter of a point down, so half a point towards the Saints, which is interesting since it's a road game. You know, Atlanta will be at home. It's a dome. Both teams play really well in domes, typically. Julio had a disappointing week last week. Matt Ryan has to get him the ball. Devontae Freeman's going to be out again, so Tevin Coleman's a lot more expensive than he was last week. I think he went up like 1,400 or something like that.
But that's with good. You think that's with good cause, all right? I mean, I think he's. You and I have talked, I think, offline, and I probably talked to Mike about this as well. I think Tevin Coleman's actually the better running back of the two. So I'm fine. I think in this situation, paying for him. I don't know about you, Jason.
Yeah, he just needs to get – so he got, like, just at 20 touches. He got 100 yards, you know, basically 100 yards, a little over 100 yards rushing, a little bit of receiving, 4-for-4 receiving. But they just need to get – the offense has been stuttering, you know. They need to get these playmakers more involved. And I might be off of it until they can get these guys going. They're always going to be tournament flyers, but for cash games, they're probably nobody from this team is going to make any of my cash lineups.
Very good. Anyone with any other thoughts on this game?
Yeah, just Julio, you know, getting volume Yeah, always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a definite trend. They probably looked to right some of the wrongs from at least last year, and Julio's going to get as much volume and target share and share the offense as he can get, as he can handle, so especially in the early part of the season. So.
Yeah, he only got like nine targets, which still isn't bad, but for somebody like that, like, it's kind of the same boat that Odell was in this past week, that, you know, they just didn't get their accustomed volume, and that kind of hurt their overall stat line pretty heavily.
Yep, totally agree there. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the nation's capital, where Washington is going to host Green Bay. The over-under is 45.5. And the Packers, with the banged-up Aaron Rodgers, but still fighting in there, I've got them as 3-point favorites. So, Jason, why don't we have you go through the Packers and run down some of the plays there off the Green Bay side?
Packers, Jamal Williams has not looked good. He is the pass protector, so he'll probably still be in there. Ty Montgomery was almost non-existent last week. Aaron Jones will be back. So it's a three-headed monster. We don't know how they're going to use any of those people. Davante Adams is like a must-play for this game. And Rodgers is going to get him the ball. He's proven that even, you know, the last 2 weeks when they were struggling. Rodgers looked good. He didn't look at all hurt or hobbled. So that's great. Randall Cobb, I don't know what to think. I just finished watching some of the Washington highlights probably about half an hour ago, and I haven't really looked at their defense real sharply yet. So I'm not sure what to expect out of the middle of the field defense. But yeah, Randall Cobb's always in play there. So
exactly. I know DJ Swearinger had two picks, I think, in the game, and you know, kind of manning that center field role.
Yeah, one of them was just kind of a freaky pick, though.
Right. Saw that. So I don't know. I think he may be out of something there with Green Bay, and maybe Jones. I know he's coming back. He's got the fresh legs. It is the dreaded timeshare, but he may be worth a GPP flyer here.
Something too. Jimmy Graham ran a lot of out of the slot and got a lot of volume. Depending on how much he's priced at, but he gets a touchdown. He gets a touchdown or two, you know, of those 8-9 targets. That's a golden tight end number.
Yeah. On FanDuel, he's priced up a little bit. He's 6,200 on FanDuel. So, but still playable, definitely still playable. So, all right, Mike, what about, Washington, what do you see there?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect out of them this week. Green Bay's kind of weak everywhere but the tight end position, which is kind of where Washington wants their downfield passing game to run through Jordan Reed. You know, if you have him, you're still playing him. I don't know if I'm going to target him in too many lineups. At some point, they got to throw to the wide receivers, right? Like, Chris Thompson's got 21 targets. He can't continue to lead the team in targets.
There's an APB out for Josh Dotson. Like, where is that kid at? Like, what's going on? Like, I thought this was his year, and the same with Paul Richardson, and we're just getting nothing.
Week two was the optimal week for them to get all the wide receivers to get involved because they were trailing for so much of the game. I kind of put that on Jay Gruden, not being aggressive enough. I think he's such kind of a vanilla coach. He's happy to trail and think, oh, you know, I just got to keep, you know, hold the line. I'll get back in the game instead of opening up the offense. So maybe he learned a lesson this week. Maybe against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers he does it, but more than a deep dart throw, you know, maybe like Doxson, Crowder hasn't had the volume that we thought he would. You know, maybe AP can break something again on the ground. Not a ton of love for Washington on my part.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've totally got the right read there on Washington. Jordan Reed, perhaps. You know, I was really disappointed in them last week against Indianapolis, as you suggested. I thought that matchup lined up really well for them. So that gives me pause about that whole offensive unit in Washington and what to do against the Green Bay. I would say Green Bay defense is middling at best. So, anyway, anything else with this game, guys?
There's Paul Richardson. He did make a couple big plays going downfield, which was kind of exciting to see. I like that dude. I'm glad he's getting a chance to be. He looks like he's going to emerge as the number one on that team, so it's something to watch out for.
But that presumes Alex Smith pushes the ball downfield, right? I mean, he's a bit of a check down Charlie, so.
Yeah.
That's encouraging signs, but we need to see more of it.
We saw vintage Alex Smith this week, where it's like, you know, hey, you're in a great situation. You're going up against a high-powered offense that has no defense. You know, make it work. And he was terrible.
Yeah. All right. Let's move along on to another game. This game will be very quick, I think. This is Buffalo going to Minnesota and taking on the Vikings. The over-under is 41 even. And this line is...
And the Bills are only getting 12 of it.
Right. I mean, the Vikings are 17-point favorites. So I'm assuming both of you guys are a full fade on anything Buffalo, including Buffalo Wild Wings on Sunday on this deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Calvin Benjamin if you want to get real crazy, because... You know, he's probably the only guy that can score a touchdown on that offense.
But then I'm thinking about Minnesota's defense and what they have done, you know, over the last year in two games. So this is totally fake. I don't know about you, Jason.
What about Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh man, I think they're gonna win the East.
Again.
Are you talking about the America East Conference? I mean, because this is going to be a long year. We talked about this last week. It's going to be a long year. I have some friends that are Bills fans. Yeah, like, this is going to be a long year for them. So, anyway. All right, let's go through Minnesota. A lot of goodness here, I think. I talked a little bit about that. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll take Dalvin Cook out of this group because, you know, the Bills, their defense is, like, already quitting. They literally had a guy retire at halftime.
Absolutely amazing. He just, I'm just going to walk out.
He put on street clothes and left. And I read that headline on my phone when it popped up, like, oh, like, he had to, like, leave the game for injury. No, he legit just said, I'm done with football.
Well,
that's
knew
where the Bills are at.
He knew he was washed, and then he's like, do I want to go through, you know, 14 more weeks of this? Nah, I think I'm good.
Like, you know, make it to Monday, man.
Well, I know. I would concur.
You know, the usage has been good with Dal Cook, and the yardage and touchdowns haven't been there yet, but that probably changes this week, and they're going to ice the game with him and Lat Murray.
He cropped up on the he had a little injury, but they're saying it's not no big thing. So
he said it was cramps. But he said it was because it was pretty hot in Green Bay on Sunday. So it was hot all here in the upper Midwest. It was pretty hot over this past weekend. So anything else, Jason, from Minnesota?
I think I already talked about Thielen Diggs and Kirk Cousins. Kyle Rudolph's always in play there too. So it's just the whole offense. Like, said it in the Slack chat, like, it's a perfect week. Like, you know, it's probably going to be chalky, but Cousins, Thielen, Diggs, Cook, Rudolph, defense, grab three or four of them, five of them on DK, you know, as many as you can stuff in there.
Make
them
all
combinations,
in.
You know?
Exactly. Fit them all in. This is sometimes you got to eat the chalk, and this is pretty good chalk with a 17-point home favorite. So
yeah, at home, too.
Yeah. Anything else on this game?
No.
All right. Let's move on to Indianapolis at Mike's Philadelphia Eagles. Mike, anything with the Eagles there? See if I can get the over-under is 47.5, and the Eagles are 6-point favorites against the Colts. So why don't you start with the Eagles there, Mike?
I mean, you know, Carson Wentz is back this week. It's going to be interesting to see. He hasn't played in the preseason. Obviously, hasn't been practicing fully. Finally got the medical clearance. You know, are they going to click right away? I don't think so, because there's so many moving parts. You know, the wide receiver core outside of Aguilar, is kind of a disaster. Alshon Jeffrey probably doesn't come back this week, if I had to guess. He's trying to, but who knows. Aguilar's a nice safety blanket. He's got a good floor. He might even score a touchdown. I'd be interested in the running back if Ajayi can't go. Corey Clement, it gets a lot more interesting for me. And then Zach Ertz, too. You know, you always have to keep him in mind as an expensive tight end.
Yeah, Clement looked really good in the run he got on Sunday. I mean,
He's legit. You know, he didn't get drafted because he kind of had some attitude issues rumored about him, and the Eagles snatched him up as an undrafted free agent. And, like, in the preseason last year, people were like, this dude looks great. Why was he not drafted? And they immediately got him involved in the offense.
Right. Anything else on a Philly side?
They did.
Maybe Dallas Goedert catches his first touchdown.
They did promoted another running back, Josh Adams, to the active roster. So,
and Adams is a talented kid. We talked about him. I think I might have talked about him on one of the preseason pods.
Preseason. I liked him preseason.
Yeah, he was really talented, really productive runner at Notre Dame. Obviously, this is the big show, but I mean, he's a big back, got some moves. I mean, I like him long term. And then he probably will get a little bit of run if Ajayi can't go today or on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if Ajayi doesn't go and they don't make Smallwood active, I'm interested in Adams. They kept running Smallwood out there because they kind of had to, but he's just not an NFL running back.
I would concur with that assessment. Indianapolis, Jason?
Andrew Luck looked really good throwing to T.Y. Hilton. That's well, we got the new Dante Moncrief got another touchdown.
every time he scores, I have to look at my phone to see if you've texted me or something in Slack. I mean,
I'm wide receiver too.
Here's a little disclaimer, and people are gonna this is gonna go off brand, but I might be coming around on Eric Ebron. Especially the way you articulated that he is fitting the Moncrief role. He doesn't see the snaps that Jack Doyle does, but they're not using him as a tight end, so that's true. Luck is still not really challenging a lot of throws downfield just yet. I mean, maybe Eric Ebron might find his way into my lineups. Maybe. Yeah.
Four targets, 3 receptions, 26 yards, and a touchdown. I mean,
that's 2 weeks in a row, and he's. I don't think it's sustainable, but you know, we're on a week to week basis in fantasy and especially in DFS. So, I don't mind Eric Ebron. I can't believe I just said that.
I don't know what happened to Doyle in this game, in the last game. I mean, only 5 targets, so only out targeted Ebron by 1, 2 receptions, 20 yards. I mean, that's not what I expect out of Jack Doyle. So hopefully we can he can bounce back here against the Eagles.
Yeah. Anything else in this game?
Nah, Marlon Mack's back. He didn't do anything. None of the running backs did anything. Naheem Hines is small and fast.
Yeah, and don't use running backs against the Eagles.
Yeah,
that backfield's a mess anyway in Indianapolis. I can't figure it out, so I don't even want any shares of that. So
yeah, I don't care about any of the ancillary receivers or anything like that. It's just T.Y. Hilton. You know, T.Y. Hilton will get his. Ebron will probably catch another touchdown. Other than that,
if he does I might have to really come to grips with some things if he catches another touchdown this week. So, all right, we'll move on to Baltimore. They're hosting my other team, the Denver Broncos. The over-under here, a modest 43.5. Baltimore is a 5-point favorite. Jason, why don't you walk through some of the plays with the Ravens here?
With the Ravens? Alex Collins, he still looked pretty good last week. I don't know what Flacco's doing. It's just hard to get a beat on him sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, he's holding off Lamar Jackson as best he can, but he's just an interesting quarterback. Like, you get good Flacco, you get bad Flacco. You never are really comfortable if you have to put him in your lineups. I do like Alex Collins here, though. It sets up, even though Denver's defense is maybe better than I thought starting off the season, I like the way this game might set up for Collins here. What about Crabtree here, Jason? Any thoughts on Crabtree?
Yeah, I'm trying to run down to their wide receivers here real quick. Fine. They're playing Denver, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, I've got it alphabetized the wrong way. I gotta go to the bottom of the list instead of the top of the list. Yeah, I mean, Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead. Yeah, Denver kind of gives it up in the middle of the field. Who are they running out of? Ed, they're still going to try and run Jonnu Smith out. Is that? No. Yeah, Jonnu Smith. Or is that Tennessee?
It's Tennessee. I think Tennessee. What you're working with Baltimore is Crabtree, Brown, Snead. They're still waiting on Hayden Hurst.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he's still out. He's still out. So it's sort of a haphazard bunch of tight end spot there. If I'm going anywhere to pass catchers, I think you probably want to go. I would think Crabtree or
Crabtree. Yeah, you want to go with somebody in the middle of the field. That's going to be a big target in the middle of the field, very tight end like, and that's kind of Michael Crabtree. All the other guys are little guys, little speedsters. So
exactly. Mike, what about the Broncos? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, going on the road, I don't have a ton of love for this Broncos offense. It's going to be a little sloppy probably with some rain. Either one of their running backs interest me more than probably their pass catchers. You know, if it is kind of sloppy, Manny Sanders is going to have a hard time utilizing, you know, his agility and getting open the way he does. DT, you know, maybe he sees a little bit more because of his big body, but it could be a Royce Freeman comeback game. You know, they said they're going to ride the hot hand, and if they need tough yards, I still think Royce Freeman's probably their guy.
Yeah, he got the score last week. Not a lot of production. Everyone is on the Phillip Lindsay train, and he looks like a strong runner. I mean, he runs hard. He runs with a purpose. I like a little bit of the backstory with his upbringing and just kind of a tough upbringing. I always like those guys that are in this league, got something to prove. He played, college ball in Colorado. Like, he's a good player, but you're right. This seems to have the makings of, I don't know, a 20-17, 21-18 kind of game. And Freeman might get, 15, 16 carries out of this and 70 yards and a touchdown. And I'll take that at his price point.
Especially now with how worried you are as a Royce Freeman owner.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6,000 on FanDuel. You could do worse than Royce Freeman this week. Anything else on Denver?
No.
All right.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of what playing conditions will be that game. And the thing too with Denver, as we talk about, will their offense travel? As Mike mentioned, the question I have is Case Keenum for real? He had to engineer the nice comeback again, but that was at home and that was against the Raiders. Can he do that coming across country in Baltimore? I'd have to see. That's one of those he's going to have to show me. So,
Baltimore's a little bit tougher defense. So.
I would stay a little bit tougher, yes. So. Yeah,
and they had the extra couple days off.
Exactly. So, and probably a little angry. Oakland and Miami. The over-under for this game is 43.5 as well. Miami, I've got as a 3-point favorite. Mike, why don't you take the Dolphins here?
It's going to be interesting to see, does Devontae Parker come back and kind of throw a wrench into their passing game? Kenny Stills had a good week one. Albert Wilson had a good week two. But it's they're kind of spreading the ball around everywhere in both the passing game and the running game with Drake and Gore both getting carries. Drake scored a nice touchdown. But if you're going to play a Dolphin, it's probably Ryan Tannehill from a DFS standpoint. Everything's going to flow through him. Had some really nice rushing on Sunday off some run play, some run pass options. The one thing I will say is I've been really down on Drake, and somebody put me on to that with Josh sitting out, their backup left guard was I think his name's Larson. He came in last year, right when Drake did as well, and that, you know, they kind of correlate it with a lot of his big runs. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm not sure it's actionable yet, but, you know, he scored a touchdown with no sitting at left guard. If he does, if he breaks a big run this week, there might be something to that.
Very good. Yeah, the Tannehill play, I like coming back from the injury. The RPO scheme they've got with him on certain plays and certain things they've got going on the system, I like it, and it purports well going forward the rest of the season. Jason, what about the Raiders?
Let's see. Jared Cook. Man, I really think that Miami is going to be one of those teams that we just stream tight ends against, and they're using him. Derek Carr is looking for the big guy in the middle. They actually, you know, after Amari Cooper's really, really disappointing first week, they talked all week about how they were going to move him around and try and get him the ball. And that was after Gruden said that making him good was more difficult than just saying it. And then they threw it to him 10 times. He had 10 receptions, 116 yards. All you have to do is throw the guy, you know, just throw it to him. He'll make the plays.
He's super talented, and moving him around makes some sense. And, you know, the issue they have there is obviously with Nelson, who's played a lot of his career, you know, in the slot as well from time to time, and Martavius Bryant. I mean, they just Oakland long-term, I don't know if this Gruden thing's going to work out, but it was nice to see Amari Cooper actually show up well, too. What about Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, Lynch. I mean, Miami's defense is not looking all that great. You know, really none of the AFC East teams there are looking really great on defense right now. That's my team included. But
we'll get to them. Don't worry.
Lynch is still, if you look at like his elusive rating, he's still like one of the most elusive backs. Like the old man still got moves. So yeah. If he gets the volume, you know, there is that concern like of the West Coast team going to the East Coast, and it's a long way from Oakland to Miami. I mean, I live in Florida, and it's a long way for me to get to Miami. I could get to – it's about the same distance from here to Chicago as it is from here to Miami where I live. So think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that Cook call, Jason. And you know, the Dolphins are a bad defense against the tight end, but it hasn't shown this season because week one was such a debacle with the Titans and the weather delay and Mariota getting hurt and Walker getting hurt. And then week two, they played the Jets, who just really don't.
They don't have a tight end. They don't have a tight end, really.
And Anun was their tight end.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little bit of a sneaky play for me.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go to Cincinnati going to Carolina and playing the Panthers and Cam Newton. The over-under here, 43.5, I've got it at. And Carolina's a 3-point favorite. Jason, what about the Panthers? What do you see offensively there?
I think we touched on it a little bit already, but we're talking about last week's game with McCaffrey. That opportunity he's getting is, you know, passing opportunity is worth more than rushing opportunity in most cases, you know, unless that's it. Devin Funchess.
Yeah, I was going to say Funchess or DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore had the nice catch and run against the Falcons. Any love there for him?
Yeah, I try and go and just kind of follow the targets and really look at for volume, unless a player has like a real specific role and they're going to him a lot, you know. Funches is still up there in the targets. McCaffrey is just going to ball out every week and get his, you know, 10, 15 targets every week. He's not really getting the rushing work, but when you're getting, you know, wide receiver one targets every week, it doesn't even really matter. And you know, that's really all I would go with there. You know, Cam's gonna run, so Cam's always gonna offer you a solid floor, and just dumping off to McCaffrey, that's gonna be some not huge passing stats, but some good passing stats that just like are auto available to him. So
very good.
And thank God Vontaze Burfict isn't going to be in this game, because Cam would be getting all kinds of helmet-to-helmet late hits. Like, he'd be in the locker room warming up, and Burfict would be, you know, right behind the door waiting for him.
He's out for like two more games, right?
I think four games was the total.
Yeah, so two more games, this game and one more.
I mean, Cam takes some hits that are so vicious and so so aggressive.
The NFL doesn't care.
It's amazing to me, because I mean that hit on Sunday with I forget the defender's name, but just a dirty, dirty hit, and Cam got the belt.
Ridiculous.
Just, I mean, there's no even need for it. So anyway,
yeah.
All right, Mike, what about the Bengals here in this game?
I mean, it's interesting with the Bengals this year. They were always kind of a defense-first team. The defense hasn't been that good this season, but the offense has stepped forward at the same time. Yeah, I don't know if that's a bankable trend. Gio Bernard is going to get a good amount of volume, but I'm also interested in Mark Walton. You know, they drafted him to kind of be the backup to
Mixon, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, to mix in it if anything happened to him, and here we are in week three, it's happening. Yeah, AJ Green is AJ Green. I don't think you can go wrong with him in any week. You know, I don't think Tyler Boyd is going to have a repeat performance. Maybe John Ross gets loose deep. You know, but Carolina tends to be a solid defense, so I'm not high on too many Bengals.
Good. Anything else from this game for either of you guys?
No.
All right. Let's move on then. Let's go to Houston, where the Giants are going to Houston to play the Texans. The Giants are 6-point underdogs, and the over-under is 42. Mike, anything with the G-men?
Kind of feel like this game could turn into a shootout. It's really interesting that the point total is only 41.5. You know, the Texans, they looked okay, but against a backup quarterback missing both starting tackles, like, that game should have been a practical shutout. Yeah, I know they got behind early with the fake punt that went for a touchdown, but I think the Texans defense is a little overrated. I think the Giants, coming off of a bad performance in Dallas, are probably not getting enough credit. That game, anytime, you know, New York and Dallas plays, especially in Dallas, it's such an ugly affair, and it was that case again. So I think there's a nice kind of a game stack possibility here for a bounce back on New York's part. I'm probably not touching Eli, but I'd go Odell and Barkley, and maybe stack him with like Fuller or Hopkins.
Yeah, that's definitely one route here that's probably going to be a little bit off the beaten path, which is what we're looking for in DFS. Any love for Evan Ingram here?
Not a ton. He's, you know, you could maybe blame it on the concussion that he had. You know, the Texans are not great against the tight end, but they've been okay so far this season. They haven't really been tested too heavily. I guess Gronk week one kind of shredded them, but he's Gronk. You know, he could be worth a flyer, but he's still down the rankings for me.
Okay. All right, Jason, the Texans, what do you like here?
Hey, you got Will Fuller, you got Nuke Hopkins, you got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson seemed like he was holding on to the ball like way too long last week, but yeah. You know, that forced him to make some big runs, and, you know, he's a playmaker. He's gonna make something happen.
Yeah, like, he had a bad game and still scored well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Cam too. Like, Cam does that same thing where, like, he'll be looking, and then, oh, it's too late. the whole thing's blown up. Now I've just got to run, you know. But both these teams have such talented offenses. I mean, watching replays of the New York game last week, watching Saquon do a little pirouette around a defender on the sideline, like big boys got moves, you know. Lamar Miller started to get a little bit more involved, it seemed, and with Fuller on the field out there, Fuller, Bruce Ellington, Hop taking on, you know, stretching the field, making people respect Deshaun Watson. I think Lamar Miller could really get start to get going here.
Yeah, definitely a play here. You know, using those usual suspects in Houston, and again, the stack is probably a contrarian way, you know, for this week's action here. Yeah, let's move on to go ahead.
It's one of those kind of lower total games. Like I targeted a few of those last week and week one. It's something I always try and go to is some of these lower total games like this that a lot of people might not be on, but you know, these offenses are stacked. Like yeah. there's no way around it. They're just stacked.
So, and there'll be recency bias with what people just saw the Giants on national TV. So
yeah, well, both of them last week weren't, you know, super stellar, but
exactly.
you know that they have that explosive ability.
Exactly. Let's run to this quick game here, kind of near your neck of the woods there, Jason. The Jags are hosting the Titans. No line on this game. I think some of the injury stuff with Fournette and figuring that all out. So I don't have a line on that. I don't know if you guys have a line on the game or an over and under. It's not posted here, so... Let's work through this really quickly. I don't necessarily see a whole lot I like from Tennessee. Jacksonville, or what are they calling them now, Jason? Saxonville is what I've heard.
Saxonville, yeah.
Those guys are something fierce, and so I'm fully not looking at anybody on Tennessee. I don't know if you guys are looking at Tennessee.
No, and I'm really worried about Mariota because all indications were, you know, it should have just been like a one-day elbow kind of thing, and he should be fine to go week two, and he still couldn't grip the ball warming up, which means, like, he didn't really practice and try to grip the ball. So until he shows he's okay, I think the whole Tennessee scene is kind of a non-starter for me.
Yeah, I like Deion Lewis and season long, but this is not the matchup to play Deion Lewis or any of these Titans. Jason, anything with Jacksonville in this game?
Did you see Keelan Cole's Odell Beckham catch?
Catch of the year, and it might hold up as catch of the year. That was an amazing catch.
That's a guy I talked about week one, and I kind of mentioned his basic like college stats, and that's kind of the, you know, that's the dominance that he displayed in college. He kind of disappointed week one. He was kind of chalky too because he was min price, but the dude's gonna get some targets, especially you know, if Fournette's out again, they're gonna do that same thing that they did with the Patriots. Granted, the Titans aren't the Patriots, but Jacksonville's gonna be at home, and if they don't have their big boy to run it, they're gonna throw and they're gonna put the game in Blake Bortles' hands. And
Bortles
is going to go to ASJ. He's going to go to Keelan Cole. He's going to go to DD. He's just going to start chunking the ball. And yeah, I've already got some Blake Bortles stacks going on DK and FanDuel because
it worked last week, and people aren't going to go to it this week because they just can't stomach Blake Bortles. But it's an even better matchup. Like Tennessee's secondary just gives up wide receiver 1 week, especially if Moncrief sits. Like Colin Westbrook with Bortles is a great stack. Yeah.
I mean, you got a guy like Adoree Jackson in the backfield there for Tennessee who hasn't panned out, and he's a touchdown waiting to happen, and someone throw on that guy. So
every single time that like Leonard Fournette like sits, that you see exactly what happened. Sunday.
Yeah, and they've scored like close to 30 points every time he's been out.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, in a basketball, they call it the Patrick Ewing effect. It's like you get the star player that everybody's all focused on, and your offense just seemingly runs smoother without him. I mean, Fournette's a talented player, but the proof is in kind of the pudding with what they did against New England. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, how they integrate him, you know, offensively, and try to just get that offense clicking on all cylinders with him back in the lineup. And maybe not be so, you know, Doug Marrone maybe not be so run heavy and just realize, hey, Bortles not so bad. So, yeah. All right, let's move on to the game of the week from a fantasy perspective. That is Jimmy G and his San Francisco 49ers traveling to the heartland to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The over-under is a delicious 56.5. The Chiefs are a touchdown favorite right now. Let's see. Mike, why don't you take the Niners here?
The Chiefs defense has kind of lived up to its billing of not being very good. Jimmy G, week one was a little rough for him, but you know, he showed last week why he's such a coveted quarterback. I don't mind stacking him. Kittle, maybe. Garcon is okay. Pettis, if Goodwin doesn't go. You know, I was on Alf Morris last week, and Breida had the big week. That could happen again this week. Breida just looked more live as a back. Had more, you know, more wiggle, and was just breaking off chunk gains, and that could happen again.
Yeah, Breida looked really good on the run against my Detroit Lions. As we saw there, Pettis kind of let me down a little bit. I know he got banged up during the game as well, but Pettis was a guy kind of had pegged as a sleeper, so maybe this is his week. So yeah, I like the Niners side of the ball there. Jason, what about the Chiefs? We talked about Pat Mahomes. What else do we got there?
What Pat Mahomes will throw? Well, he's thrown, what, four touchdowns in one game, six touchdowns in another game, so probably five touchdowns this game, or is it going to be seven?
Right on average.
Seven or eight, something like that. Yeah, so Pat Mahomes at home, I just lock it in. We'll see how they use Kareem Hunt this week. It seems like he's in that little Andy Reid's not going to use his running back very much or very effectively, I should say, space. But yeah. Mahomes pinpointing. Kareem Hunt got 18 carries, which is ridiculous because it didn't seem like he got that many carries last week. But yeah. Mahomes is pinpointing his receivers so well. They're gonna sling it. That offense was built for him. They built that offense the last 2 years. It's a slaughter, I think.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game to watch. A lot of back and forth there. So, let's move on to the battle for LA. Those pesky Chargers and the LA Rams. Over under in this game is 48. The Rams are 7-point favorites. Mike, who do you like? Why don't we have you go with the Rams here? What do you like on the Rams?
I think the Chargers aren't a good tackling defense, so give me a lot of Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I could definitely see him busting loose for a couple big gainers here. Anything else with the LA offense?
I'm not sure they get a good rep as a secondary. I'm not sure they're there yet. You know, they had somebody got hurt. I forget who it was. One of their better corners. But you know, they've had some interesting games so far as a secondary. I don't think they're quite a shutdown defense. So, you know, Brandon Cooks, I'm interested in. He showed why he's such a good play any week. He can create yardage. And Cooper Kupp, you know, he could catch a touchdown any week. They love him in the red zone. But mainly Gurley. I think it's a great Gurley week. But this as a shootout. I think this one's going to hit the over.
Interesting. I think I'm a believer in the Rams' D defense, so I don't know if I necessarily see it that same way. But
the Chargers play up to their competition and down to their competition, so
fair enough.
I think that's what happens.
Fair enough. Yeah, you could see Uncle Phil and his team do that. Jason, why don't you walk us through what do you see with the Chargers here?
One thing I forgot to mention about the Kansas City game real quick. Eric Berry looks like he's going to be back at practice this week. Probably not going to play, but that's a good sign for them, for their defense at least.
For sure.
But, yeah, the Chargers, man, I've really got to look at the cornerbacks for the Rams and really go into them and see kind of what they're good at specifically. Because Tyrell is, you know, one of the best deep threats in the league. He's big. He's fast. He just runs straight down the field. And anytime he has like a slightly weaker cornerback matchup, they chunk it to him. Melvin Gordon, he is probably the safest, one of the safest, next to Todd Gurley, probably the safest running back. Week in, week out, he's always going to get his volume. You know, he only got like 50 yards total and ended up with 3 touchdowns. Yeah. The week before, he had like 150 yards and no touchdowns. It's just kind of the way his game goes. He can't be game scripted out. You know, he's got 22 targets, I think, in the last 2 weeks. That so he's up right there. Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen, and just nothing can really stop that. They'll find a way. And then you got old Mike Williams over there as the impromptu tight end, basically. But they're, you know, Melvin Gordon's what led the league the last 2 years, and if not led the league, then close to it in red zone opportunities. So, yeah, they really give him the ball, and they're, you know, two passing touchdowns. He's only had, I think he's had 6 passing touchdowns or receiving touchdowns in his career. So to have 2 in one game is just ridiculous, but it's just showing how they're using him. And when they get behind, and they're probably going to be behind in this game quite a bit.
Yeah, this for me is going to be a fun game to watch, settle in and watch. I don't know that I'm going to take a lot of plays from it. You know, you guys did articulate why you think it would be a shootout, but I'm gonna take the other side. I'm going to take the contrarian view, and outside the running backs, I think I'm gonna stay away from this and just settle in and watch it like a good old football fan. So. All right, let's move on. A few more games left on the slate. Dallas at Seattle. The Seahawks are 1-point favorite. The over-under is 41.5. We just saw Seattle last night in Chicago, and they're desperate for a win. Dallas, anybody on we'll go with you, Mike. Anybody on either one of these teams you like?
On the Dallas side, Zeke is kind of the offense. That's yeah, been the case for 2 years now, and it's not changing. So, you know, he's a little bit expensive, but the Seahawks defense, I think you'd prefer to run on them than throw on them. So, especially if you're missing some linebackers.
Still. I was going to say Mitch Trubisky struggled a little bit, and that could be a product of Mitch Trubisky. But he struggled a little bit.
Dak's pretty close to Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, he struggled a little bit yesterday, so I could definitely see that. Anything Seattle side, Jason?
Will Disley got another touchdown. I mean, it was basically a blown coverage touchdown. Like, there is nobody around them. They just didn't pick them up, and it was complete garbage time. And they didn't even care to cover people. So at that point of the game, but
all those points count, though. He knocked. I know he knocked me out of some contention on the. Single game slate. Anything else with Seattle?
Nah. I mean, Russell Wilson he doesn't have anybody to throw to right now. So until that kind of works its way.
And I talked about that. Yeah.
It's going to be rough sledding.
Yeah, I talked about that this year.
Rough sledding for the passing game for both these teams. You know, you got 2 mobile quarterbacks. At least Dallas has Zeke, because Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's going to lead that team in rushing again.
Yeah, tough times in Seattle. All right, let's move on to the desert. Chicago is going in there to play Arizona. The over-under is a mere 37.5, and the Bears are 6.5-point favorites. Anybody like anything from Arizona here?
I will be benching. Yeah, I will be benching David Johnson again this week, most likely on my dynasty team.
That's tough to do, but you're that is probably a wise thing to do up against these monsters of the Midway. Anything from the Bears?
We might see Josh Rosen by the half.
We might if things go to things go to form with Bradford there. So
any change at this point in that team? I mean.
They look listless. They look lifeless.
They look terrible. And yeah, they need a change. Probably not. I probably wouldn't put Rosenthal in this game. You don't want him.
This is what you call a confidence crusher, right? You put him in here. He Khalil Mack lands on him about 4 or 5 times, and the kid's never the same.
Yeah. Well, that's Nathan Peterman last year against the Chargers.
You're right. Melvin Ingram and Bosa just taking tans. You know. Turns doing a sack dance, and that's the end of Nathan Peterman. So, anything from the Bears here?
Jordan Howard, he's kind of been quiet in the first 2 weeks. He's been involved, just not, just not having breakout games. And the Cardinals have really been run on this season. You know, they faced, obviously, Gurley, a really good running back, and AP week one, who was fresh. But, you know, they went from being one of the best run defenses to... You know, now they're one of the worst from a stat standpoint. It's only 2 games, but I'm interested in taking a shot on that with Jordan Howard because, you know, they got a new defensive coordinator. Things are changing. You know, their interior I don't think is that strong.
He's getting the receptions. It was five receptions the first week.
He had a great catch on the sideline.
Yeah, 4 targets, 3 more receptions this week, so... I think that's about what his midseason total was last year already.
Yeah, so if they get the lead, the Bears get the lead, it should be the Jordan Howard show.
Yeah. And he is a talented back, and we've talked about him, numerous times already this season. I think we'll continue to do so. All right, moving on to the Sunday night affair. This will be interesting for 2 of us on this podcast, the New England Patriots. Come up here to the Great Lakes State, to Detroit, to play the hapless Detroit. I said that out loud, didn't I? The Detroit Lions. The over-under is 52 even, and the Patriots are a touchdown favorite. We'll go ahead and give the Patriots to Mr. Moshe. Go ahead.
Yeah, this line's moved up a lot. It started at 45.5. It's at 51.5 right now is what I'm looking at. Might need to update the screen. But, yeah, both teams going up. I think what we saw with the Patriots defense just getting stomped on by Blake Bortles in the first half last Sunday is kind of driving and Detroit's performance, in the second half of the last couple games. It's just driving these scores up. So this is the Patriots are – their defense is not looking right. The Lions, I don't know if they have a defense yet. I think they're still trying to figure out if they have one, which is crazy because their head coach is a former defensive coordinator, so you figure that would be the first thing that they would fix. But the I really like this one to be a shootout just because, Stafford's had a little bit rough the first 2 weeks, and this is a dude that passes for like 5,000 yards. The Patriots now have Josh Gordon. I don't know if you've heard of him. They're saying that he had a little hamstring injury, and they expect him to be ready to play on Sunday. So, he doesn't have to learn the whole playbook. It's just like, hey, man, just run, 9 routes.
Do a 9 route. Let's go.
9 routes and post routes. Those two? All right, just run those. Yeah. And that could really open it up for Gronkowski.
And Hogan. And
Gronkowski, you saw Jacksonville just completely take him away with Jalen Ramsey and double-triple-teaming him. And, you know, that's really one of the ways, one of the easiest ways to just beat the Patriots. The wide receiver core is a mess right now.
Yeah, I think Hogan's a sneaky play because everybody's going to focus on Gordon.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The defense is going to focus. If Gordon plays, like, even in a limited capacity, like, he just is – you have to respect
the coverage.
Yeah, you have to respect his speed, his size, his ability, you know. We saw a little bit of that, you know, in that first game with the Browns. You know, I know he only had like, what, one catch, right? A 17-yard touchdown or something like that. But it's just going to open up the receivers, the other receiving options. So, you know, James White playing a lot of slot work. Gronk not having to be double teamed, like, you know, that's Brady's go-to guy whenever they're down or whenever they're in trouble. It's just Gronk. And then you saw with everybody, they kind of schemed with everybody going to one side and just leaving Hogan like man coverage, like doing a little slant route in the end zone to get that touchdown. This should be a lot better game for the Patriots and the pass catchers. I really don't see the running backs doing a whole lot outside of James White. They're just going to have to get these guys integrated.
Yeah, I mean, if Burkhead were going to be out again, I think it would be a different story. But with all three of them active, it's kind of just a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And I think here, just looking at the Lions, you know, play your usual, your Stafford, your Galladay, maybe Marvin Jones here. Shootout for sure in this game. Defense optional. A lot of scoring on Sunday night, so it'll be a fun watch, I think, for a lot of people. Last game of the week. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, both these teams are going to be hungry for a win. You know, yeah. Detroit especially at home. And, you know, the Patriots are going to go in to win after a disappointing loss last week.
Exactly. All right, last game of the week, the Monday Night Affair, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay. A lot of tumult in Pittsburgh. The over-under, again, high, 53.5. Pretty much close to a pick'em. Pittsburgh's a one-point favorite on the road at Tampa. Mike, anything on the Steelers' side of the ball?
It's a weird spot because, you know, they're on the road, so there's that whole narrative. But it's not a 1 o'clock game, so does that, you know, counterbalance? You got to like James Conner in his role. I think we've learned that. Antonio Brown missing a Monday, you know, Monday meetings. They didn't have practice today. They're going to address it tomorrow. There's a dust up going on there, so that's interesting. If he's out, Juju is a, you know, a nice tick up, and then either James Washington or Ryan Switzer is going to see an increased passing role.
Very good. Jason, anything on Tampa side?
Tampa, I would watch the weather in this one. They're going to be in Florida, and Tampa is notorious for lightning storms and stuff. So you might have another situation because it's just that time in Florida where we have rain every day. I want to play Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I just can't stomach putting him into a lineup. So, what Deshaun Jackson should be back out there again, right?
I think for me with him, the thing was the revenge narrative against the Eagles. He always gets up for those sorts of matchups. I mean, that's his MO. So I don't know, I'd go back to the well here with him here. But again, Pittsburgh's defense showed nothing last week against our favorite of the podcast now, Pat Mahomes. So
it all hinges on how Fitzpatrick plays, because the whole offense could, you know, is going to go however he goes. So if he's, you know, Fitzmagic again, then you just play, you know, Evans and Djax, and you just play all the wide receivers. I don't think OJ Howard's going to get free for another 75-yard touchdown run on, you know, He had a great day on two targets. But yeah, it's all about whether or not you have faith in Fitzpatrick to come through again three times in a row.
Exactly. All right. Well, to close up shop today, each one of us will go through and give you the fantasy fade, a lock, and a sleeper. So, Mike, why don't we start with you?
All right. For me, a fade is going to be Russell Wilson. Just the play calling there has been so bad. Schottenheimer stuck in the wrong decade. And, you know, you see Russell Wilson trying to change the play at the line, and they're taking timeouts to you know, get on the same page. And he's like throwing his arms up. What are you doing? I had the defense read. I called the right play. You didn't. So.
Yeah, he's a season-long fade for me. What about your lock and your sleeper?
I think my lock is going to be Alvin Kamara. There's just too much to like in the dome there. Not a lot of explanation needed. And then for a sleeper, interesting week for a sleeper. I'm going to go with Dede Westbrook. I think he takes some of the share away from Dante Moncrief, who's nursing a knee injury as usual. Keelan Cole's great in that game too, but people are going to be on him. I mean, Westbrook showed on a long touchdown what he can do if he gets loose.
Yeah, immense talent there. All right, Jason, what about you? What about a fade, a lock, and a sleeper?
A fade. I'm trying to think of somebody to fade here. There's so many guys that I like. I could go back to the well with David Johnson, but I'll just do that. I'll go the cheap way out and go with the guy I said at the beginning, David Johnson.
Fair enough. What about a lock?
A lock. I'm gonna take the other cheap guy and go Todd Gurley. We're trying to make it hard for you.
and what about a sleeper for this week?
Sleeper. And I'm running down my list here real quick. And I want to go Tyrell Williams because I think the Rams are going to put up a bunch of points on the Chargers, you know, early and often. And Tyrell is just he's one of those guys where it only takes like, you know, one or two catches, and he's got 100 yards and two touchdowns or whatever. So, yeah, I will go Tyrell.
All right. And for me, my fade of the week, anything with Tennessee, any offensive player in Tennessee, stay far away from the fearsome Jacksonville defense. My lock of the week, I'm going to stay on brand, Kirk Cousins, lock him up. Three touchdowns I'm predicting for him. And then my sleeper this week is Alex Collins with Baltimore. I think he's going to have a good game against the Broncos. So with that, we appreciate you listening in as always. If you have questions, please add us at Twitter. Mike, you're at Roto Juan, correct?
Roto underscore Juan.
And then Jason, you're at J Moschel, correct?
Yep.
And of course, I'm Quaffo at Spartanzilla on Twitter. And then obviously for those involved with the Lineup Logic Slack chat, please be involved in that. Get involved in a great community. The three of us are all involved there. Many others. $10 a month gets you access to the Slack, a cornucopia of sports to go through and look at, and just some really good people really talking fantasy and digging in and the numbers and whatnot. So with that, for Mike, for Jason, this is Quaffo, and we'll see you next week on the Fantasy Fade Route. Good night, guys.
Later.